This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
What is up, my sinners? Welcome to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome. As always, I am your host, Shane Told. It is so good to have you with me as I take a journey into the lives of other lead singers. It is Monday morning. It has been 1 month since I made my New Year's resolution, which was to get my fat ass in a little bit better shape. And I am pleased to report, as I stepped on the scale this fine Sunday morning, I am now down exactly 10 pounds. Look at that shit, right? So in 4 weeks, I've lost 10 pounds, 2.5 pounds a week, which I think is pretty good. It's definitely good. I think it's healthy. And basically, I've just been, you know, switching up my diet, eating a lot of salad, some homemade soups, you know, good amount of protein. So I want to thank all you guys, all you regular listeners, because giving you guys the weekly report, you know, it does make me think about it. I don't want to be, oh, hey, yeah, well, remember that 2 pounds I lost last week? Yeah, now I gained 2 more and I am a fucking fat piece of shit. So no. I want to thank you guys all for that and everybody who's emailed me your New Year's resolutions, which is really cool. I love hearing about that. And everybody that's emailed me to support mine, I do appreciate that. Hey, this week, great episode. It's a shorter episode. Keep that in mind. The running time a little shorter, but this one is action-packed. I talked to a punk rock legend, Mr. Jack Grisham of TSOL, also of the Joy Killer, which is a fantastic band. And his story is pretty cool. I mean, TSOL, they are punk rock legends. They are one of the first bands to really mix horror and punk together. You know, they did it before the Misfits did it. And the coolest thing is they're back. They got a new record coming out on Rise Records. Actually, no, it's out. It just came out on Friday. So it is out now. Check it out. It's a terrific record. And it was awesome for Jack to spend a few minutes with me. Last week was a pretty special episode with Vic from Pierce the Veil. Thank you to everybody who checked it out. If you haven't, go back, check it out. We got like 60 other episodes you can go back and check out. Please do that. Now, a lot of people always ask, Shane, how can I help with the show? What can I do? Help you keep the lights on? I know you have expenses. I know you have other things going on. What can I do? Now, there are a couple of different ways. The first way is real simple. We have the Amazon affiliate link. If you buy anything on Amazon, go to leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage. Login is normal. And anything you buy on Amazon, we get 4 to 6% and it costs you nothing. So it's a very simple way that costs you nothing. Again, that link is leadsingersyndrome.com/Amazon. But if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy the show so much that you need more than just one episode a week, if you need a couple episodes, if you need interaction with other fans of the show, if you want a Q&A with me every month, if you want to ask me questions on a Facebook group, if you want Lead Singer Syndrome merchandise, there's only one way to get all that stuff, and that is the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. We launched it about a month ago. We got about 150 members. It's a really, really great group. Our Facebook group is popping off. Sup, Brendan. Sup, Britt. Sup, Julia. Sup, man, there's so many people. Sup, Mo. There's so many people to say what's up to. Maybe at the end, I'll give you all a little shout out. But we have a great time over there. So please, if you're a big fan of the show, if you want to help us out for as little as $6 a month, you can get all those things I talked about. And we have merchandise. Merchandise exists. Lead Singer Syndrome merchandise. And it's cheap. But right now, if you want to get it, you got to be a member of the All Access Club. So check it out again. Here's a link, leadsingersyndrome.com/All Access. And seriously, it would mean so much to me if you even just went and checked out that link. So please check it out. If it's right for you, I'd love to see you on there, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. If you want to get in touch with me, we got all these different ways to do it. I love hearing from you. We're on Twitter, @LeadSingerSyn, S-Y-N, Instagram, @LeadSingerSyndrome. If you want to email me, it is leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Facebook, there's a Facebook page for that. We got all that stuff going on. Also, if you hate my guts, if you hate the show, or if you think I've done a horrible job interviewing your favorite lead singer, there's an option for you too. You can call the Lead Singer Syndrome hate line, and the number is 657-666-HATE. That's with a plus one if for you non-Yankees. Again, one, plus one, 657-666-HATE. You can leave a message for me. I will have a listen to it, and I may, in the future, play it one day on an episode of this show. So feel free to give me a call as well if you're not so happy. Anyways, that's the end of my intro. Please sit back, buckle your seatbelts, unlike Jack, and enjoy a great episode with a punk rock legend, Mr. Jack Grisham of TSOL.
Jack.
Hey, Jack. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. My phone went all anarchy. What's happening? Like, it does some weird thing, man, where it just, like, all of a sudden it gets, like, zoomed in.
Oh, really?
And I can't get it to zoom out.
That's weird.
And then,
man,
I can't turn it off because it's so zoomed in that I can't push the thing to turn it off.
Damn, dude. Your phone's more punk than you.
Yeah, it's something. I don't know what's the matter with it. There's some problem.
It's funny.
Which is ridiculous.
I'm a minute late because, well, I was drunk and I smashed my iPhone screen the other day.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. You know, I've never done that before. It was my first iPhone screen smash, so that was lovely. So I was taking
it. Was it in your pocket, or you dropped it, or you threw it?
I dropped it. Well, I was trying to put it in my pocket, but I'd had a few beverages, and it kind of slid down my leg. And I'm in Toronto. It's freezing cold. And
right.
It kind of slid down my leg, and I tried to save it with my boot, you know, at the last minute to break the fall. But no.
Right.
Face down, boom, smashed on the sidewalk. Like, you know, the cold phone on the cold pavement, it's not a good combination. And I knew it was done.
Nice.
So I tried
nice.
To get it fixed,
one of my,
and I couldn't. So that's why I was a few minutes late calling you, actually.
One of my worst drunks was in Toronto. drinking some drink. I don't drink anymore, but when I used to, Sweet Tarts. That's what I kept calling them.
Okay.
Because I didn't know. I just kept telling the bar, hey, maybe you want to know the Sweet Tarts. Because it looked like a Sweet Tart. There was an orange one and a blue one. At least I think there was an orange one and a blue one. I mean, next thing I know, I'm down in the bathroom with this club with a clock. I pulled some clock off the wall, and the club owner's going, you got to give that clock back. And I'm like standing at the toilet holding it. I don't know what's happening. Wasn't a good situation, but
no,
anyway, whatever.
That's funny, yeah. So this must have been, I know you've been sober since like 1989, I think I read.
Forever,
so,
yeah.
So you still remember these crazy drunken stories from the 80s.
Yeah, I still deal with it. You know, I got a ton of friends that are still fucked up. So it's like, you know, just because I'm clean doesn't mean everyone else has to be, you know? So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
And then we hooked up with some crazy God of Light guy there. For some trippy, I'm in Toronto for like 3 or 4 days, and I'm hanging out, and I'm at this party, and this guy goes, I'm the God of Light. I'm like, yeah, I'm bitching, dude. Like, whatever, right? some crazy hippie. He goes, let me light up your show. Let me do the show. And I'm like, yeah, fuck. Come run the lights. I'm thinking he's going to come get on the light board. You know, I'm something. And I'm not shitting you, Shane. I walk in, and there was a fucking bank of lights all over that club like you two. It was fucking crazy. The guy had a big semi parked outside. He fucking had
Oh, so he
room.
Really was the God of Lights. He wasn't,
he
just,
was
he wasn't just fucked
yeah.
up. And he came
I'd
and he
never
did lights.
Seen, so many lights, the club couldn't even handle them all. He goes, I got generators. I got fucking, like, what the fuck, man? Some crazy hippie.
That's insane. You should have brought him on tour, man. You should have brought him on tour.
Anyway, all right. Sorry. You're supposed to be asking me questions.
Oh, man. I don't know where to start. I mean, you have had what a career. The craziest thing that I didn't know about you is what you're doing now, which I found really interesting, which is you're a hypnotherapist, right?
Well, yeah, I do it, but I just do it because I was just interested in it. Like when I got clean,
yeah,
like it was real weird. Like I didn't know if I could go and play shows because I didn't know how to, what, you know, normally I was fucked up. So it's like you take the liquor out of me and all of a sudden I'm a total geek. Like I didn't know how to act, man. And it felt like it literally, I don't know if you've ever been a shoplifter, but when you're an ex-shoplifter, when you walk out of a store, your ass gets tight. Because you think people think you're stealing shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're real, like, stiff going out, right? So, I mean, that's how it felt like with no cocktails in me. Like, it just felt like I was so stiff. Like, and I didn't know what to do, and I was fucking a geek. And so I went to this hypnotherapist to try to, like, help me release whatever mental blocks I had over getting on stage.
Sure.
You know, sober. And it was actually kind of bitching, and I later on, now I know what he did, but he placed like an anchor, it's called an anchor on me, and so whenever I walk on stage, I mean, it could be five people, could be, you know, 50,000 people, my mind always goes to this one favorite show I had. So I remember this show, and I remember how loose I was and how I felt. Like, that's where my mind goes. So that's how I got into hypnotherapy like that.
That's super cool. Yeah. That's
yeah, and it's real trippy.
It is real trippy. So, yeah, so you became interested in it through what he did, and then you decided, hey, this could be maybe a more viable career than punk rock
into your late life. Wait a minute. Here's the thing, though. So let's say you want to go get some hypnotherapy, right? And so you see my name and you Google me and then you go, ah, fuck, I'm not letting that guy put me under. I don't want him in my mind, right? But, you know, the cool thing is I've been able to use it for writing because, I'm an author, so I've written like five books. So it's like I use it for writing. I use it for lyrics. I use it for, you know, I mean, you can use it when you're talking to people. It's really... Because I'm a neuro-linguistic programmer, too, if you know what that is.
No, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Yeah, it's real. It's some space age. These are not the drones you're looking for shit. It's real trippy. It's how the mind works. It's hard to explain. It's like the mind really works like a computer. So it's like learning how to work the computer in other people's minds.
Yeah, that sounds...
It's real trippy.
Yeah. That's...
But it's the way the eyes move. And, you know, have you ever seen... Okay, you ever see Blade Runner?
Oh, yeah. Many, many years ago. Well, yeah, what a movie.
Okay, fucking great movie, yeah. And when he's trying to figure out if the thing is a robot, a replicant or not at the start, he's looking at the eyes and how the eyes move and react.
Yeah.
Well, that's really true. Like, I can study you and I can ask you questions. And I can find out if you're telling me the truth or not by the way that your eyes move when you answer the questions. So it's real CIA trippy shit. And it really works. Even if the person's blind, their eyes still move the same way. The muscles move. So it's like a computer accessing information.
Wow.
So if I asked you the right series of questions that I knew were either true or false, and I could set up the pattern through that, then I could ask you questions that I don't know, and I could tell if you're lying to me or not. If you're constructing a story versus remembering a story.
Wow.
Yeah, it's trippy.
It is trippy. So you've been doing this for, like, is this something you're doing now? Like, is kind of your, you well, know,
I
you do have
it.
An office?
Well,
like,
I always do it.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to somebody.
Oh, no, I just mean like as a career, you know, in terms of your day-to-day life.
No. I just play, you know, I write, I make money from writing, and I'm a photographer too, so I shoot, basically anything that's not a real job, that's what I do.
Well, it's crazy, like, I just look at your, you know, shit, like, you know, your Wikipedia page kind of thing, it's like, he did this, like, so many projects all the time for, you know, and TSL,
well, like
TSOL
working.
Is still ongoing as well, right? I mean.
Still going, we got a new record that comes out the 27th of January.
Yeah.
And so it's like it's constantly, you know, like constantly, I mean, I'm sure you do the same thing. You know, it's like, if I don't want to say artist, because I'd kick my ass for hearing myself call myself an artist. But, you know, it's like when you there's something to us that if we're not working, if we're not playing, if we're not, you know, creating something, that we get real uncomfortable and sick.
Right.
Real backed up. What do you guys, is that your car going off? What's happening?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. Well, this off the record, but yeah, my phone got all fucked up. I was like, okay, guys, like bring it in at 2. So I'm like, all right, bring it in at 2. I'm like, I got to talk to Jack at 3. I'm like, it won't take an hour to like drop my phone off, right, and get a loaner phone.
Right.
But it did. So now I'm like sitting in my car doing this interview, and my car just said low battery. So I'm like, well, I better turn it on before my battery fucking dies and I have even more problems.
Yes.
So sorry for the distraction, man.
No big deal. No, so what I'm saying is...
No, I understand the artist thing. I know what you mean.
Right. So you go crazy. And it's funny because you look at the crazies, like in an insane asylum or whatever, and they always get the crazies. They got to get them doing something, man. They got to be making baskets or sewing quilts or some shit. You know, you got to keep the crazies entertained, man. And so... It's like, that's the deal with me. It's like, I got to work.
Yeah.
I could do a couple records a year easy.
That's crazy, man. Like, yeah, that's crazy. And I know a lot of people I've talked to on the show that have become sober. They say, like, the difference between being fucked up and being sober is time. You aren't wasting your evenings being drunk and wasting your mornings being hungover. And
yeah, it's...
You know, but the other thing, too, is, like, you get older, and I'm sure... When you were, you know, in the early 80s, like, playing punk rock and being crazy, I mean, you must have thought, like, I can't do this forever, right? I mean, or did you think
this was not the plan. I never even thought I'd live this long. Are you fucking
sure? That's what I mean, you know?
I'm, like, tripping. Yesterday, I was at this place, and they gave me a senior discount. I'm standing there. I got blue hair, right? And I'm standing there. I mean, I was wearing a nice suit, and the lady goes, well, you can get the senior discount. I go, oh, fuck yeah.
And you have no shame. It's perfect.
Funny. We just kind of, but it's like, I never thought I'd live this long. I never thought anyone would even give a shit. First of all, I didn't think I'd live this long. We could end it right there. But then it's like, did I even think anyone would even care about that kind of music? It's like, you know, it's so crazy.
It is crazy. And I really want to talk about that and how, you know, you grew up and you in this punk rock band. Just like my first impression of TSOL, I mean, I'm only 35. So I think I heard about you guys, you know, kind of I got into the, you know, the 1994 Green Day Offspring explosion was when I first heard about punk rock, and I was 13 years old. And very quickly, I heard about TSOL just from my favorite bands talking about you guys. You know, and I went back and, you know, listened to Dance With Me and that record. And what struck me right away, the first thing I thought was, whoa, like, this guy's fucking crazy. Like, this is punk rock. Like, this guy's insane. You know? I mean, that was the most extreme, you know, Code Blue to reference a song. Like, that was the most extreme punk rock, you know, song I'd ever heard.
Well, I think the trouble with that band is it really was like a punk rock band, whatever that means. If punk rock means that you're going to cut your own throat before someone else gets a chance to, then that's what that band was. It's like there was no, it was a different record label every record. Nobody's doing what anyone's saying. You know, I'm fucking egoed out crazy. Just, you know, nobody's telling me no.
Sure.
it's like fucking George Lucas with Jar Jar Binks. Somebody should have said, hey, stop it, man. get that fucking lizard the fuck out of that show. You know what I mean? Whatever. But nobody did. And at the time, nobody's telling me anything either. They're not telling me no. They're not, you know, and I'm doing whatever I want. And fucking, you know, it's like basically I'm a kid who's got the world at his fingertips, meaning, you know, it was like a bad Clockwork Orange, man. It's like you want chicks, you want to fucking steal cars, you want to steal motorcycles, you got money, you want to surf, you don't fucking care, you don't vote, you don't work, you don't, you know, it's like, and especially punk rock, it was that total excess. And it wasn't like this bullshit later on metal excess. It was like excess, like dangerous excess.
Right.
Right. You know, well, so it was just, so that band, the life expectancy of that band was nothing, really. And it'd still be gone if we hadn't cleaned up. You know, if everyone, because like in the 90s, I was playing in this band called The Joy Killer.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were on
well.
Epitaph at the time, traveling all over the place. And, you know, so this band would never have, the T.S. Weld thing would have never got back together if everyone didn't get sober. Because it was frightening. And it was really like, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, no, and I'm just saying there was no, like, it didn't matter. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "You're ruining your career." That's what he said to me, right? And right. I go, "Bitch," I go, "I'll come up there with a chainsaw and ruin my whole fucking life." You know, just like, you think?
Jesus, yes.
Because it just didn't matter. You know, it's like, and the more fucked I was, the more juice I got. It's like in that kind of situation, like I told people, it didn't matter what I did. I could be wearing a dress, blowing 15 sailors in the city park. Fucking people would go, "Jack's out of his mind. Fucking A, hardcore." Right? You know?
Right.
It's like it wouldn't matter what I did. Like it didn't matter. And the more fucked I was, the better it was. That's what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
I remember some guys were staring at me in a restaurant one time. And they're looking at me, right? So I walk over. I got my kid with me, you know? And I walk over, I go, "Hey, bitch." Like, "What are you fucking looking at, man? Like, you got a problem with me? Like, I'm in a restaurant," right?
Right.
And the guy goes, "No." He goes, "No, I'm a fan." He goes, "We were stoked to see you here."
The
right?
best is he, the best, like, is he probably to this day tells this story and loves it. Loves
and,
it
and
that
loves
crazy
it.
Jack comes over and
threatens
incredible.
Us. And then I bought him a round of drinks. Let me get you guys some drinks, man.
Well, there you
you
go.
Know, so I get him some cocktails. But it's like, so that guy, exactly like you said, that guy goes and tells people, "Hey, that guy's the real deal."
Right.
He's not fucking around.
But to me, but then you're getting compared to like Gigi Allen. I mean, like.
Well, see, and I don't, for me, like, I wasn't a fan of that.
Well,
like,
that
I don't
was
like,
different,
I didn't,
though.
Like, no, right. But I'm saying for me, I didn't, like. And maybe I wasn't a fan of it because, like I'm a pop guy, too. So it's like, it's almost like, you know, if Ted Bundy liked pop music.
No,
like,
I get it. You're a singer.
I'm not
like,
gonna.
You're an actual singer.
Yeah.
Like even the first record which I threw on the other day, I hadn't heard it in a while. You're actually pretty good vocal performance. You're a pretty good singer, and you're not trying to scream or be like a this crazy. You know, like Gigi Allen just was, it was all about just being extreme and it wasn't really about any sort of talent, you know, but obviously people don't look at that. People look at the crazy things and they want to talk about the sensationalism of them. So there's just why I ask.
Right. And that, and see that for me, that part I didn't like. It's like, dude, you're just trying to be shocking.
Yes.
And I've seen it before and I'm bored.
Yep.
You know, it's like, show me something you want to be shocking. Well, show me shocking with art. Show me shocking, but show me something that I can look at and go, "Oh my God, that totally holds up." You know, I mean, this guy was a fucking maniac, but that song is badass. You can't say that about any Gigi Allen song.
You can't. No, you can't.
You can't go, "That song's fucking well crafted."
No.
It's not.
No, I just wonder if you guys cross paths, so.
No, I'm friends with his brother, but I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But him, no, because I stayed away. There was a long stretch where I kind of stayed away from everything, too.
Sure.
Because it just kind of, when I was getting, a lot of that stuff in like the, I got sober in the late 80s. So, like a lot of that stuff, I was done. I'd had enough. I was just basically really, my world had gotten really small for a long time.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break to hear from our awesome sponsor, Loot Crate. But we'll be right back with more from Jack from TSOL. So if you've been listening to the podcast over the last couple months, our main sponsor is Loot Crate. The link, first of all, lootcrate.com/leadsinger. They're doing some amazing things over there. Basically, if you're a geek like me, and this month is really cool, but if you're a geek like me and you like pop culture, cult movies, retro video games, stuff like that, you're going to love Loot Crate. And what they do is for less than $20 a month, they send you like 4 to 6 items
And it's really cool stuff. And the one they did last month was especially cool. There was like a Mario t-shirt and a Captain America shield. Actually, a reprint of Superman number one comic. There was a little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like ceramic shot glass. They do a lot of really cool stuff, and it's less than $20 a month. So make sure you check out Loot Crate. Now, this month is especially cool. The theme is Build. They do a different theme every month, and this one is Build. And basically, this is great for me. I have three nephews, and I buy them Lego pretty much for every birthday and Christmas because, well, it's for selfish purposes. This is basically so I can buy it for them, and then I can help them, in quotes. I'm using my hands. I'm quoting, help them put together the Lego. So this is an awesome one. So if you are on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life, or you are that geek, like I am that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there is a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. So roll up your sleeves and get ready to celebrate some of pop culture's most put-together franchises. February's hands-on theme is Build and features Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Batman, Lego Dimensions, and Tetris. And as always, our monthly t-shirt and pin. Man, I love Tetris. Actually, what I love even more than Tetris is Dr. Mario. That game is awesome. In fact, I met a girl that could beat me in Dr. Mario. I dated her for like 5 or 6 years. Yeah, that's how much that game means to me. Anyways, here's how it works with Loot Crate. Again, lootcrate.com/leadsinger. You have until the 19th, February 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, that's midnight Eastern, to subscribe and receive this month's crate. But when that cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. No more Build for you. So make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/leadsinger. And this is important. Enter promo code LEADSINGER and you will save $3 off any new subscription today. Again, lootcrate.com/leadsinger. Enter promo code LEADSINGER. There it is. And Lego, come on. So sign up today.
There's an interesting thing too, like back then, because it's Los Angeles. And, you know, there's a difference. I feel like there's a big difference between some of the stuff going on in L.A. and then some of the stuff going on in, like, D.C. Like, was the straight edge thing, was that, did you guys even know what that was in L.A. at that time? Did that have any factor on anything going on?
Well, that wasn't our bag. See, it was real trippy. See, L.A., well, it's actually kind of interesting. John Doe, there's a book called Under the Big Black Sun. And it was an X record. So John Doe from X had written this record called Under the Big Black Sun, blah, blah, blah. But he ended up doing a book. And he asked a bunch of his friends, like Henry Rollins and myself and a couple of the girls from the Go-Go's and, you know, like early punk, L.A. punks. And he said, hey, would you guys write a chapter about your experience in L.A. for my book? So we all did. We all wrote a chapter. And then we ended up doing an audio book for it. So we all read our chapter. Like Rollins reads his, I read mine. Charlotte Caffey from the Go-Go's and Jane Wheedland, they read theirs. So everybody read their chapter. And it's actually kind of interesting because the record, the audio book, got nominated for a Grammy. It's up for a Grammy this year for a spoken word record.
Wow, wow.
So, but L.A. was different. L.A. was more drugged out and wild and out of control more. You know, sure. The D.C. was real straight and political. And I think the politics in L.A., at least from what I saw a lot, was just, hey, let's get drunk and fuck. You know, it was real out of control. San Francisco was a little more political, but it's like they were like, you know, let's get drunk, fucking have a protest.
Right? Yeah.
Frisco. You know, L.A. was like, yeah, fuck your protest and fuck everybody. And, you know, real nihilist. Trip,
yeah, I was going to use that
like
word.
Like in L.A.
It really was. And like, you know, like I read the NoFX book, you know, and Fat Mike was a kid growing up, you know, I guess probably when you were. TSOL was doing it too, and he's just telling these stories about like what it was like going to shows as a teenager in LA, and like there was just going to be like you were going to get your ass kicked, or
right.
Or you were going to witness someone getting their ass kicked every single show, and you know, and like I mean, it's well documented, you know, the TSOL like riots that, you know, you almost, I don't want to say incited, but maybe you did.
Well, there were, there was that. And see, now that really fucked me up a little bit too, because I'm really anti-authority, anti-boss.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. Like to me, I'm a socialist. I'm like a gnarly, like a hardcore socialist. So there was a time when we were playing a show and the police were coming in and, you know, there's like 3,000 people at the show. And I said, hey, you know, if we all just sit down on the floor, they can't do anything to us. And so 3,000 people, like at one, just sat down on the floor. Like, and it was a real trippy power kind of thing that I didn't enjoy. Like, you know, and then after that, people would go, tell us what to do, Jack. You know, they'd yell shit out. It's like, dude, I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want that. I don't want any part of that. I don't want that, you know, fucking
like role
well,
modelism.
Guys like Bono.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Let guys like Bono get off on that shit. You know what I mean? I don't want, but, you know, that whole like power tripping, whatever the fuck it was, you know, lead singer syndrome.
There you go. There you go,
you know,
man.
It's like, I don't
you
want
You had it.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't want it. Yeah. And so I quit TSOL shortly after that.
Well, you know, you kind of said that the band was unsustainable, you know, and you did quit after two records. I mean, you were
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, and there was like an EP and whatever, but yeah, I was done. The drummer, myself, and the keyboard player quit. You know, and then they went on and they kind of took the name and added some guys and turned into like a weird metal band.
It got pretty weird for a while. You know, it's funny because I was in New York the other day and I was flipping through some records and you know, in the punk section, and I came across a TSL record and I was like, oh shit, you know, I'm talking to Jacka in a couple days. And
right.
It was the weird glammed out version, like the full on glam metal TSOL, and I didn't even know that era of the band existed.
Yeah, it's
weird, dude.
It's beyond weird.
How did that feel? Like you leave, and then all of a sudden they're like trying to be touring with Guns N' Roses. How was that for you? Being like, what is going on with my like legacy here?
I just laughed. I should have said, you know, I should have said, and we still believe me. This is still like a sore spot within that band.
I could see that.
You know, it's like, because, hey, whatever they did, whether, you know, I'm not a fan of that kind of music, so I can't really judge it. Now, somebody may say, hey, that music was good that they did in that genre. Okay, great. But I'm not a fan of that genre, and it didn't have a fucking thing to do with what supposedly TSOL stood for. It was basically a way for them to make money. You know, it's like, well, we'll use the name. Because if they would have started out under some other name, they never would have got popular because it wasn't great. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't like, and there was nothing in that band. I mean that, you know, the chemistry of that band blew, you know, it wasn't, I mean, I hate to say it, but it just, my opinion sucked. You know, it's like the singer thought he was fucking Jim Morrison and Whiskey Blues, you know, and if you go and look, what have they done since? Not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, we're going to use that name to make money. And that's what they did. And, you know, and then you look, well, what have you done since that? Nothing. Well, yeah, because that was what you had. You had a name that you made money off of.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of a drag. And after, and like, we would get blamed. Like, I'd get blamed for it. Like, people would show up and go, oh, well, I guess you're done with the metal years. You know, it's like, dude, you know, it was kind of fucked. It was like, it was almost like some guy that was fucking your girlfriend goes out and does something stupid, and then they blame the guy that's fucking that girl. So it's you. You know what I mean? So not only did he fuck your girlfriend, but he went out and did something stupid, and they blame you for it because they think you're that guy.
Right. Well, so that's a kind of an accurate portrayal, I think, that I mean, I guess you weren't immersed in it at all. You were totally an outsider looking in too, so it makes sense. But the good thing is, I think, and you know, like I said, when I first heard about TSOL, I was like 13 or 14 years old, and I never knew about the, you know, the shit going on you know, that had just happened.
Right.
With the,
right.
I never heard about the glam era or anything. So in a way, I think now people come back and they want to hear, you know, the songs from the first two records. And then the stuff you've done, you know, when you got back together in whatever it was, like the mid 90s, right?
Right,
So, you know, that in a way is good that that piece of TSOL, I think, has officially died. I don't think, like, I'm talking about it because I ran across that record in the, you know, in the record shop the other day. So I guess those are the only places that it still exists.
Yeah, it's fucking rough. And when we released a single, this single, I Wanted to See You off this new record. They released that some fucking scumbag record company re-released one of the old TSOL metal discs on the same day.
Really?
You know, it's like you just laugh. It's just like, okay, fuck, whatever, man. And anyway, so it's and hopefully, like with this record we just did, because I really like this new record we finished. So hopefully, with that, it just like for me, like if we ended after this record, then I feel redeemed.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, I can end after that.
What are your plans?
I can end after that.
What are your plans for supporting this thing? Are you going out on the road? Are you guys doing?
Yeah,
doing
we're
going to
tour. We're doing the Warped Tour, you know, this year, which is funny
because so
it's like,
really?
Fuck, we're so old, you know. Yeah, it's like, so we're doing the Warped Tour this year, which is pretty fun. I mean, it's actually pretty funny. You know, you mentioned Green Day earlier. We did the Warped Tour years ago with Green Day. And it was kind of cool because the guys
like
in Green Day were on, something like that. Yeah. And they were, when MTV was still like semi-valid, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And it was pretty cool because, like Billy Joe said, they go, hey, what was the best part of the Warped Tour? He goes, getting to see TSOL play.
Because
there was one time where he actually came out on stage. And he jumped up on my shoulder, and I had him on my shoulder like Tiny Tim. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm a big guy. So it's like, you know, I had him carried on my shoulder like a kid, like a little boy sitting on my shoulder. sitting on my shoulder during the song. It was fun as shit.
That's great, man. So how did you guys, you guys just decided, hey, let's do it? Like, are you old buddies with Kevin Lyman?
Well, yeah, of course. I've known Kevin for years, you know, and, so, you know, we got a, you know, new record label, you know, Rise, because we're on Rise Records now.
Yeah,
so when we got the record, the new record label, and, you know, we got it. Yeah. So we got it, the management, the whole thing. It's like, hey, let's go and do some shows. Let's play. Because we go to Europe. We go and do Europe still and South America. So it's like, let's go. And let's just have some fun and, you know. Whatever.
I love it. I mean, it's great to see you still doing it and still having so much, you know, passion just for art, you know? And I think that's the one thing we were, you know, you kind of mentioned earlier. It's like, no matter how old you get, once you have that, once you're an artist, which, you know, I know you hate that term, but once you have that, whatever it is, that thing that makes you tick, it'll never go away.
Yeah. And if you're still willing to work, like when we go on stage, it's like I see a lot of these older bands and they go on stage and they don't bust their ass. It's like we go on stage and bust their ass. I mean, I spend an hour basically running around like on stage. It's like we've gone out on tour with like younger bands and they just say, fucking A, how do you guys fucking do that? You know, and it's funny. Well, I just saw the Rolling Stones, you know, about a month ago.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, and they're 70. And they're out and they're fucking moving around and having fun and fucking off. And, you know, it's like, I don't think anyone really understood what rock and roll was going to be about. Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone ever understood that it was going to stay valid and stay this long and stay like, if you're willing to work and create and stay, you know, current, that you can be playing this shit, you know. Your whole fucking life.
Yeah, it's shit, man. It's wild, you know. And
if you're willing to stay current,
well, people always will say to me, you know, and I've been doing my band now for 16 years, and people, you know, usually it's like typically friends of mine that don't understand, you know, or you know, like at weird family gatherings, like people kind of outside the family will say shit to me like, oh, you know, so what's going to happen after this? Like, when is this, you know, or it's not going to last forever.
Stop.
And And for a long time there, Jack, I would be like, yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess I'll figure something out, you know. And I did have this ingrained in my head. Oh, this isn't going to last forever. And then I talked to somebody like you, and it's inspiring because why the fuck not?
Why not?
Why the fuck not?
Hey, I tell people all the time, if I went out today, if I died today, I die, and you say, that motherfucker did whatever he wanted for as long as he wanted and never had to fucking put a knee down to the man. Ever.
Right.
Fucking ever.
There
you go. You know, it's like sometimes you trip on that. You think, like for me, I think I'm 55. And it's like, and I've lived my life doing basically anything I wanted to do. Traveling all over the world. Last year, I was in Indonesia. I was in Australia. I was in Europe. I'm in Russia. All over the fucking place. Making records, writing books, you know, dealing with people, just having a blast. My whole life.
It's awesome, man.
It's like, yeah, it's crazy. It's like, you know, my kids even laugh about it. Like, sometimes my kids go, Dad, what do you do for work?
You know? Yeah, they don't want you laugh. Going into the classroom for take your parents to school day or whatever, where you say, with your blue hair, hey, kids, do whatever the fuck you want.
But I'll tell you, that's what's funny now. Like, especially where we, like, well, of course, we're more well-known from where we come from, right? So in my neighborhood, like where I live, in the high school, in the junior high school, the elementary school, in the library, in the police force, they all know me. Like, I get pulled over by the police. I got pulled over by a cop a couple weeks ago, and I'm on my cell phone, right?
Yeah.
I don't have my seatbelt on. I'm speeding, right? You know? And he fucking pulls up next to me and pulls me over, and I got blue hair, and I'm sitting in the Mustang. He's, you know, and he looks at me and says, hey, he goes, how do I know you? I go, I don't know. I don't know. He goes, no. How do I know you? I go, I don't know the market. You see me up at the market. He goes, no. He goes, do you play in a band? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I thought so. He goes, Mr. TSOL. He goes, why didn't you just tell me that when I asked? I go, well, what, you know, what am I supposed to do? He goes, look, I've been a fan for years. I'm stoked to meet you. You know, there's a cop pulling me over.
Insane.
And I do like a lot of community stuff with a community.
Sure.
And he says, hey, you know, I'm really proud of the work you do with this. And he goes, and he basically wrote me up for the no seatbelt.
Oh, he still gave
and
me
he
a
signed
second.
It off. Well, he wrote me, he goes, look, I gotta write you for something. So he goes, does your seatbelt work? And I go, yeah. He goes, show me it works. And I show him it works. He goes, okay, here's a fix-it ticket, but I signed it. So all you got to do is mail it in. So it's like when my kids go to school, there's kids on the playground wearing TSOL t-shirts.
Right.
And their teachers wear TSOL t-shirts. And my kids will be, you know, high school, the elementary school. My daughter will be in high school and want to, you know, the vice principal will say, hey, are you going to go see your dad this weekend?
Right.
You know, so it's like... Pitching.
That's a cool thing about the whole, like, about California too, though, that people can separate, you know, the person from the music and from the art, because let's be honest, a lot of, like, I want to fuck the dead, you know, like lyrics like that, you know, and that's, I gotta say, that's probably still one of your top,
yes,
you know, most popular songs. Like, you know, these little kids wearing the shirt and go, well, what does your dad sing about? Well, he sings about, you know, fucking corpses in a morgue. I mean, like, everybody seems to be on board in your community, which is awesome, but maybe that doesn't happen everywhere in America.
No,
you know?
No, it probably doesn't. It probably doesn't. And the thing with that song is it wasn't really about fucking dead people. It's a teenage guy saying, hey, this is such a hassle, this
yes.
dating and shit
yes.
talking and whatever, that I'd rather fuck a dead person than deal with you. Because dead people don't complain. That's what, you know, it's like they don't talk shit. They don't complain. I can do whatever I want to them. They just lay there and smile. You know, it's like,
yeah,
so it was a, you know,
yeah.
it was a joke. But,
but
shoot, Shane, my phone's dying. My phone's going to die. The battery's going.
Okay.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, you want to call me back when you charge your phone or do you want to call
well,
it? How much time you got?
Well, we can call it. We can call it. It's going. It's going. I can hear it. He's making beep beep noises. Yeah,
that's cool.
I'm sorry, and I'm so stoked for you to have me on, man. It'd be nice to see you someday, you know, and say hi and have a little soda or something. You know, it'd be nice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, maybe I'll be seeing you this summer too. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice.
Let me ask you one question. Did you guys really dig up graves and steal from churches and all that shit back when you were young?
Yeah. Yeah.
You really dig up a grave?
You know, well, who doesn't? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, look, archaeologists are digging up people all
the time.
There
you go.
You know, it's like, hey, just because I'm not licensed. I'm not a licensed archaeologist, but I was an archaeologist, so we can say it that way, you know. Yeah, maybe a bone necklace or two, but anyway.
Well, hey, Jack, I'll let you go. Let's do a part two this summer, okay?
I hope so, man.
And
all
the best with the new record, January 24th?
27th.
Yeah, there it is.
The Trigger Complex.
Rise Records, the Trigger Complex. Check it out. Jack, thanks a lot for your time, man.
You're the best.
All the best. Cheers.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So there it is, my conversation with Jack from TSOL. I did want to take up more of his time this week. I did. But, man, that was an action-packed, whatever it was, 38 minutes. Really, really cool stuff, and I hope I feel like our paths are going to cross again, and we can do another part two. So good having Jack. Thanks to Jack. Thanks to Biggie, everybody that made it happen. New TSOL record on Rise Records. Now, as always, I'm going to play you a couple tunes. They're so short, I got to play two. I'm going to start with an old one, then a new one. The new one is called Give Me More. That is the first track on the new TSOL record. And this song, well, this is a song we referenced quite a few times. It is a classic. And when I heard it, I mean, listen to the lyrics. When I heard this when I was about 14 years old, I was like, whoa, this band is fucking hardcore. So here it is, Code Blue by TSOL on Lead Singer Syndrome.
And I don't even care how she died.
I want to give a big shout out to some of the members of the All Access Club for their support, for their love, for just being sweet dudes and dudettes. Start, of course, with my God Pass people. You know who you are. Philip, Rainer, Mike, Nathan, and Brendan. Well, I guess Brendan. Thank you guys so much for the ongoing support and everything. Please let me know if you need anything. The Platinum Club people, we got some new members. Brandon Ray in the house. Trent McDougal, Brendan Drescher, Christina Fickett, Paul Pacenti. Shout-outs to Paul. Connor Lynch. Brandon Dave, Alina Anglin. Actually, the Anglin family are Anglin. I don't know how you say it. It looks like Anglin. The Anglin family, big supporters of the show. Love you guys. But big shout to Alina, my favorite of the two Anglins. Philip Fradkin of Calgary, my dude. Mo, oh, Mo, are you okay? You seem a little aggressive sometimes. You are one of my faves. So good to have you. Josh, Elise, Aiden, Julia, of course. Travis, Cole Fenn, Johnny Carreau, Victoria, straight out of Sweden, Drew McDonald, Andre Nielsen, Will Southard, Markham King. I know you go by Mark, but I like to call you Markham. I like Markham, cool name. Alex Terry, my buddy, Mike Valdez, Kimberly Burgels. Oh, Kimberly, what a girl. Christian Harris, Roy Stino, Shannon Caswell, longtime Shane Told supporter. I appreciate that. Jordan Reed, Roldan Kabate, Tom Mancini. Shout out to Melrose Place. Jordan Krink, Gabby Marshall, straight out of Canberra. And of course, from straight out of Toronto, Mr. Rigel St. Pierre. You guys are the best. Hey, so much love. Thanks again for listening. And of course, I will see you all on the Facebook group and everybody else as well. If you're listening to this, I don't know why. It's not really for you. But hey, if you want it to be, check out the All Access Club. All those people I mentioned are sweet. And a lot more I didn't mention are also sweet. We'll see you next week. Peace and love. This is Shane. Have a great week.